Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
No way, Jose.
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jet is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Good morning. Welcome to the No Way Jose podcast. You are watching the Morning Dump. This is my morning streams. This is a format where we kind of go through research of the sort. And I shoot the shit with you guys while I do it. I got Eddie in the chat saying, good morning, Jose. I have Blake saying your show is horrible. Well, that's not very nice. That's a matter of opinion, but okay. Go slob on that blowing Benjamin knob like you did a few weeks ago. Oh, by the way, I'm streaming to the Tower Gang. For those who aren't aware of the format here, I usually stream to the No Way Jose YouTube and the No Way Jose Rumble. But I alternate back and forth between the YouTube and the Twitter for Tower Gang. Just to cast that net out there. I mean, ignore that notification if you don't like it. Whatever. But I'm assuming this is one of the Tower Gang ones because we do get the occasional residual hater from our Owen Benjamin appearances, which is, it's interesting. It is what it is. It's a little bit of spice of life. Good morning, everyone, from J Pro Plumbing. And then we got everyone saying good morning to him. What's up, guys? Sorry I didn't stream yesterday. I was intending to, but I was up all night with kitties. I had a new litter of kitties came last night. Well, not last night. It was the previous night. So, like, you know, because I'm talking about why I wasn't here Wednesday. So Tuesday night through Wednesday morning, I was up all night birthing kitty cats. So, yeah, I was sleeping on the floor of that little near their nest and just hanging out, waiting for them to give birth, making sure everything went all right. But, yeah, got Corey and saying I'm working in the, but I'm going to run this in the background. Were the Nazis based before the Bolsheviks infiltrated? Were they based before the Bolsheviks infiltrated? I don't know. I'll be honest. It's like when it comes to history, especially that far back, I'm pretty rough. I mean, I as an adult, I got interested in history. I hated history as a kid. It was boring as shit. So I don't know. I don't have a firm grip on that. Maybe one day I'll go down a deep dive down the specifics of that goes into the interplay between the Nazis and the Bolsheviks during that time. I mean, obviously I know they played off of each other, but I don't remember, you know, what they were like before each other kind of deal. I don't know. Good morning, Jose from Jules. Good morning. Good morning. But yeah, so that's why I didn't do yesterday. But whatever, you guys will still end up getting like 4 out of 5 days. Four out of five. What, Monday, Tuesday? No, yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday morning streams this week. So hey, don't be greedy. You'll get everyone in the chat saying good morning, good morning, good morning. All right, let's while we wait for more people to roll in, some of the Monday, the poo crew is what some people have been calling it. Let's go ahead and pay the bills real quick. I want to let you guys know that today's episode brought to you by Nadeau Shave Co. If you're tired of that razor burn and irritation, those ingrown hairs, you can get that multi-blade nonsense, and this is the way to go. You can go back to traditional shave. You can shave just like your grandpa used to, whether you're shaving your whole face or edging of the beard. The single blades give you a barber-grade shave for a fraction of the price. The standard issue gives you one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. That gives you 70. That runs you for $75. The estimate here is a year, but let's be real. I mean, I've barely put a dent in mine. You know, you can do the math. Those blades, I mean, you can see the design right there. There's two sides to this, so you can shave on either side either way. So you get at the very least two shaves out of each blade, just because of the different sides. But let's be real, you can probably make it stretch a little bit longer. But do the math. Point being, unless you're shaving on the daily, that should pretty much do it. But if you're one of those people who do shave on the daily, you may want to consider the Quarter Shave Club. That puts you at about 25 cents per replacement blade. He's also got shave lathers, 3-in-1 soaps. It says a COVID mandate refusing company. This company was born out of refusing the mandate. Old Nadeau here got told he can get the pokey poke or get the fuck out, and he got the fuck out, and he started this business to help make ends meet, and here we are. And he so support those who made the right decisions, who support liberty, and then support, you know, people like me. Use code Jose at checkout for 10% off your entire order. All right, let's check back in on the chat. We're the Jew crew. All right, I don't know about that, but all right, guys, let's get into the content for today. I have from Lisa Pease here. Here's a tweet saying the King family did it successfully. Oh, real quick, I got a cough. Sorry, I had to mute that real quick. Crap. There we go. Make sure you guys are seeing what I'm seeing. Yep, you guys are seeing this. All right. It's from Lisa Pease. And for those who aren't aware, Lisa came on my show quite a while back. We did an RFK series, not RFK Jr., RFK Sr., for those who aren't aware. He is is he the younger brother of Jay? Honestly, now I don't remember if he's younger or older. But anyways, he was the brother of John F. Kennedy, but he kind of died in his shadow, in a sense. A lot of people don't even realize that it was more than just JFK. His brother died as well, RFK, not too much longer after. We did a whole series on that, so go check out the playlist. You can see, you know, I'll say RFK, and it's a whole series with Lisa. So we went really into that. But anyways, that aside, she's also been a big, you know, ambassador for truth when it comes to people like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. So she said, the King family did it successfully. Now the Malcolm X family is doing it. When will the Kennedys sue the government for their role in the JFK and RFK assassinations? Oh, that's a good question. It would be pretty, I mean, this would be a great time for someone like RFK Jr. to actually make a real push so far as suing them or something. So I don't know the particulars of how that work, but she shared a, you know, a headline. It says CIA and FBI sued by family of Malcolm X. She shared a Russia Today post that I figured we'd read real quick to kind of get an idea of the details here. Let me check in the chat real quick. We have Finding Freedom who's saying Blake ESS is grumpy because he's a black midget. Yeah, probably. But, you know, hey, it happens to the best of us. All right. CIA and FBI sued by family of Malcolm X. Government agents aided the activist killer and then covered up their involvement, his daughters have claimed. Three of Malcolm X's daughters have filed a lawsuit against the CIA, FBI, and New York Police Department, accusing the agencies of complicity in the assassination of the militant black activist. Filed in a Manhattan court on Friday, the suit alleges that the CIA, FBI, and NYPD were aware of a plot to kill Malcolm X, but did not act to stop it. It claims that the NYPD arrested his security detail days before the assassination, while the CIA and FBI's undercover agents who were present on the night of the fatal shooting stood by while the militant leader was gunned down. Sorry, guys, I gotta cough again real quick. I'm all nasally today. What's going on? All right, cool. By the way, someone's chat saying Alex Jones is suing the Sandy Hook families now, LOL. I don't know if that's true or not. Okay, interesting. All right, back to this. The lawsuit alleges that there was a corrupt, unlawful, and unconstitutional relationship between the agencies and ruthless killers that went unchecked for many years and was actively concealed, condoned, protected, and facilitated by government agents. We believe that they all conspired to assassinate Malcolm X, one of the greatest thought leaders of the 20th century. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who is representing the family, said at a press conference on Friday. By the way, just so you guys know, this is one of the ones I would like to cover at some time, Malcolm X, particularly his death. So if you guys know someone out there who that's like kind of their thing, they'd be good at giving a presentation, I'd be open to having them on the show. So that'd be one of the ones I'd like to probably do like a, I don't know, maybe 2-3 part series. I don't know how deep it really goes. I mean, but then again, sometimes you, I mean, hell, I'm supposed to have Austin again on tonight for our Watergate episode. I think this is like episode 7. I assumed it was going to be like a 3-episode series. So sometimes they get away from you and you realize like, oh shit, there's a lot more here than I realize. But I don't know. I feel like we probably could get that one in a couple. But either way, point being is if you guys know someone out there who's like a Malcolm X person, tag me on Twitter, say, hey, this person's great, whatever. Let me know. I'd like to cover that at some point. Anyways, that aside, the agencies covered up their involvement in the killing for decades, blocking the Shabazz family's access to the truth and their right to pursue justice, Crump claimed. Which, by the way, all right, not to keep going aside away from the article, this is one of the areas I want to dig into between MLK and Malcolm X, because this does seem to come up like this era and then, you know, some of the Fed fuckery that was going on in these realms comes up a lot in a lot of my research. Because while they are like weirdly kind of on the opposite, because I do tend to look at like the right wing infiltration type stuff, this is also present and they do tend to have some sort of interplay. So it is it's probably an area of research I should probably get more familiar with. But anyways, Malcolm X rose to prominence as the national spokesman of the Nation of Islam, a black Muslim sect that considers white people devils and advocates racial segregation. He adopted the name El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz during his time with the NOI. Although he broke ties with the group in the early 1960s, Malcolm X was shot dead as he prepared to deliver a speech in a New York ballroom in 1965. His murder was initially pinned on 3 members of the Nation of Islam, Muhammad Abdul Aziz, Khalil Aslam, and Thomas Hagen, who were all charged, tried, and convicted for the killing. And that's another thing, too, is like this this Islam element that comes into Malcolm X, this is something that also does show up a lot in my research. I mean, there's always usually some element. I mean, hell, even in the Oklahoma City bombing, there's the Middle Eastern element. So that has ties into the 93 World Trade Center. So point being is I would like to get more familiar with this area. All right. After spending over 20 years in prison in November 2021, Aziz and Islam were exonerated and awarded $36 million for wrongful convictions. That was after the Manhattan District Attorney's Office discovered that prosecutors and the FBI had withheld key evidence that would have acquitted the two men. Unlike Martin Luther King, who campaigned for racial integration in the U.S., Malcolm X advocated for the complete separation of whites and blacks. He argued that black Americans deserve reparations in their own independent state in the southern U.S. and called on his followers to use violence to achieve this goal if necessary, although he later toned down his rhetoric and cooperated with other civil rights organizations. to be fair, if I recall correctly, people do say this, that use this line, and I might be wrong here. So, I mean, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but they say use violence to achieve his goal. Now this, yes, in a sense, but when from my recollections, one of the times I've looked at X and things he said, I believe that was more of like a, if they attack you, it was like a, if the cops attack you, protect your women, your children, you know, protect your kin, protect your friends, family, that type of thing. It wasn't like a go out and actively commit violence. It was like a, if the cops or some people who in a perceived position of authority feel that it's their right to somehow cause harm to you or those you love, that it's fully within your rights to protect yourself, which I agree with. So I think that's often framed as that's a call for violence, but that's just a more of a cucking to the mindset of statism, I guess, and that like, no, oh, well, person of position of authority said you have to do this, so... No, they're still just people. So that, and you know, especially if you put that in the context of kind of some of the stuff was going on around that time, it makes sense that they'd be like, yeah, no, I want to be able to reserve my right to self-defense. But anyways, once again, I'm not a huge Malcolm X head, so I may be missing out on things here. His segregationist beliefs brought him into a loose alliance with the KKK, which called for segregation from the other side of the U.S.'s racial divide. Malcolm X also famously met with American Nazi Party leader George Lincoln Rockwell, who said that he was fully in concert with the Nation of Islam's program of racial separation. And yep, that's all of that one. Let's check in on the chat, see what you guys have to say. All right. What up? What up? What up, everybody? How do you? Boo, boo, boo. Let's see, what up, faggots? Everyone's saying hi in the chat. I don't know if it's true either. Just saw a screenshot of a headline. I'm not sure what that's referring to from earlier. Oh yeah, it's related to the bankruptcy. Oh, they're talking about the true thing. They're talking about the Alex Jones suing the Sandy Hook kids. I just, that was a throwaway thing I mentioned earlier. They're referring to that. I guess it's related to the bankruptcy. I know there's been like this almost like WWE kayfabe shit going on. I haven't been paying attention. I know everyone's acting like it's the biggest thing in the world, but like it's hard. And I mean, I guess maybe it is real. Maybe it's not. It just feels fake. And I know I'm supposed to be, as someone in this landscape, supposed to be coming out and making statements of like, oh, protect InfoWars at all costs and blah, blah. And yeah, I mean, it's true, but it just feels so produced. What can I say? I don't know. I mean, it just like I literally could have called. I remember thinking whenever I saw all the headlines about like, oh, they're selling it. I'm like, I bet you something, either someone will buy it and they somehow contest it, or it'll be something along the lines of someone they know buy it and then like it's somehow this rent. So I'm like, I already knew, I'm like, there's going to be some sort of, you know, hero's journey type thing here. Like, I just feel it. And I don't know, maybe that's just a symbol of the time and that, like, you know, things are improving. So I'm not at all wishing them bad. I'm just saying it's kind of hard for me to, like, care. It just seems like an overproduced, like, WWE thing for me. I don't know. All right. Let's see. What else. The judge denied the fraudulent action that the Onion won to buy InfoWars. Rockwell was based. Yo, nigga, cool show last night. Well, I didn't have a show last night. Oh, wait, no, I did. Tower Gang. That's right. All right. Rockwell, like Hitler, had the diagnosis correct, but their prescriptions were off. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to specifically. I haven't really looked into Rockwell too much. All right. Let's get into... All right, here's an update on the thing we've done, I believe, multiple episodes on, or at least one. Let me find it real quick. Oh, here we go. This is Ford Fisher is the person who shared this at Ford Fisher on Twitter. He's like the primary guy who covered the story. The Duke Vane the Fourth, Russell Richard Vane the Fourth. I called it the Kekkowa Fed. If you're interested in like a more, you know, understanding more to the story, going deeper, but we, you know, long and short of it, this guy was a dude who infiltrated a, you know, a the Virginia Kekowas, which is a militia in Virginia, and the, I say infiltrated, and maybe that's a bit of pointed language, because the question here is, was he a Fed? Is he not? Like, I mean, if you read through all, or learn all the details of this case, and you don't come away thinking this guy is a Fed and was probably working on some sort of official, you know, capability, you're kind of a silly goose. I don't say. I mean, I highly recommend going check that out. I did a whole episode on it fairly recently called "The Kekowa Fed" with Radix, Radix Verum, or Christina Urso, or Orso, I forget. She's probably like the second person that's done like the most coverage that and like Ken. So point being, Ford was the point man on this. So if you do want to dig into it here, he's kind of created like a super thread. It's probably like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's even his pinned tweet. So you shouldn't have a hard time finding it. If you really, really want to dig into it in tweet form or via my podcast, you can do that as well. But he says, Russell Richardson Duke Vane IV has been sentenced to time served and remains free after prosecution and defense agreed he poses no danger to the community. 3 years supervised release, 4 months home detention, and $5,000 fine. Now, last when we talked about this, I believe they were like in the works of plea deals or something like that. So, I mean, not a ton has changed aside from that we've gotten sentencing since we covered this last on my show. And it literally ended up being time served. Now, the big things he got cooked with is he was found with ricin, which you can see right here, enters the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia, where he will soon be sentenced for illegally possessing ricin after allegedly attempting to provoke a Virginia militia group into making explosives. So yes, he was doing odd, fishy things, trying to get these guys to essentially, heavily implied he was trying to get them involved in explosives. He was being very fishy. He made weird comments about, like, what would this militia do if there was an assassination. This is before the assassination attempts. A lot of weird stuff. I'm not going to go through all that, but point being, this dude was like facing like literally life sentence type stuff. Got out on time served and home detention because he was able to go back to a job. He had a job ready, and he was just going to essentially do his job. From my recollection, that was part of the terms, is like he was saying, because he already has a job ready to go to just do some sort of home detention, maybe even some sort of work release to and from or whatever. And this was part of it, and the job he had literally was some sort of, you know, three-letter agency type thing. I forget exactly where. But point being, dude's a Fed. Definitely this is one that like it will enrage you a little bit to dig into. It's pretty nuts. All right, let's check back in with you guys. Why do you use a studio room for Tower Gang but a laptop in your dining room for this show? Oh, I've explained this before. It's because essentially I don't have that room available right now, because that room that you guys see on Tower Gang is essentially it's like attached to my master bedroom. It's called a Florida sitting room, I believe what they're called, or a Florida room. And so it's attached to the master bedroom, but my wife works nights, and so that's part of what I'm like. Lately, for those who haven't followed the saga, I think I explained all this when I started these morning dumps. Actually, not started. It was a little bit after, because I was doing these before I necessitated I do more of them. Sorry, I'm a little bit rambling here. I'm still catching up on my sleep. But point being is I've gone down to part time on my real world job, and the reason being is because my wife is epileptic and her seizures have kicked up. So or started back up again. She had been stable for years and hadn't really had any breakthrough. And then we had within the course of like a couple weeks, she had multiple grand mal seizures, which is the full blown seizures. So I don't know if it's between stress or what's going on, but either way, she had breakthroughs. So she's essentially is no longer able to drive, because to be able to drive, I believe it's something like you have to go a couple years with seizure free, which she was. It's not safe to, but even legally speaking, she can't drive now. So I am essentially chauffeuring her around, because we were put in a situation to where, either one of us had to pull back essentially. So, you know, like And between the two of us, I mean, if you haven't followed my lore, he says, I'm new to your lore. I was just curious. Yeah, okay. Well, here you go. You recapping the lore. For those who are familiar with my lore, I was like, 2020-ish, I got out of active duty military. I was, been in for like 11 years. I was an E6, so I was making decent, really making damn good money, all things considered. And I just couldn't do it anymore, so I got out. So my wife had been working throughout the entire time I was doing, she's a veterinary technician. So she's been doing that well over a decade. But essentially I left my, because when I was younger, that was like my career, because I did over a decade and then, I couldn't do that anymore. I left there. Point being is I just had a job when I left there. I had just something that was just helping pay the bills. And so when it came down to a situation of either me or my wife had to pull back, she had more of a career. I had more of a job. She didn't dislike my job. My wife really, really likes her job. So it made more sense for me to start chauffeuring her around and for, her to continue working essentially. So with that, I'm at home more often now. And so this gives me the opportunity to do at least probably three of these morning streams, the morning dumps a week, in addition to my one Tower Gang, one No Way Jose, one Already Dead. So, yeah, that's the deal. Essentially, I'm able to put out more of these because now I'm part-time. But with that, like, my wife's in the other room sleeping. So I have the house available to myself, but not the studio room. But whatever, I justify this as being more of a relaxed environment. We're shooting the shit. We're going over. It's a stream. It's more relaxed. It's not as high produced. Not that my shows are really like super produced to begin with, but you get what I mean. All right, Ford Fisher must be the host of News to Share channel on YouTube. No, I believe so. I believe that is his. Yep. It was News to Share. Yep, yep. He told the Kekwas that he was CIA and they still own a militia, thinking they could use his intel for their benefit. Yep, that's 100% it. Yep. Good morning. Let's fucking go. Who we talking about? Some Fed. Good morning from Bobo McHua. Wood chipper that shill. They are stupid for this, giving this guy so many chances after all the crap he tried to instigate. Yeah, I'm assuming you're meaning like that the militia let him stick around that long. Well, when I talked to Radix about this, it made sense because you got to think like a lot of the different things. It's a large group. And so it was like the different reports of him doing weird stuff were mostly coming from this person or that person. And this person might not be at that event. And this person might be at the other event. So like kind of putting together, I mean, I think individually they're probably looking at this guy like, this guy's weird. This guy glows. But like it wasn't like a, this guy clearly glows, because it wasn't like, it probably took him a while to assume to come together and talk about all the information and put it all together and go, holy fucking shit, we need to get this guy out of here. And then Tom33 says, Alex Jones will be as if nothing happened in 6 months. Yeah, that's exactly kind of my feeling for it, is that this whole thing's just going to blow on over. All right. Yep. Pandemic and inflation screwed us all up. Lost a great paying job because I wouldn't get the jab. No, I get it. Yep. I mean, held my sponsor. That's how, if you heard the ad read earlier, Nadeau, that's literally how that company was born. Is he, he was forced to, he was in the military, forced to get the jab, and he said, fuck you. And he had to, had to do this instead. So, yeah. All right. Good morning, morning dumpers. Hey, you finally figured out how to produce or pronounce it. Talking about your name. He was saying all kinds of Fed stuff, even after they told him to stop in their group chats. Yep, 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 yep. All right. Let's pop into this other story we have from Ashley St. Clair. It says Catherine Herridge, which I believe she's from like the Babylon Bee or something like that. I don't fucking know. Catherine Herridge may go to jail for refusing to reveal a source. A Democratic judge appointed by Biden is considering holding her in contempt because allowing her to keep her source anonymous would give too much power to citizen journalists who hide behind Twitter. This is a blatant attack on the First Amendment and the free press. Trump's DOJ should stop this nonsense and settle the case in the interest of maintaining a free press. Context. In 2017, Fox News reporter Catherine Herridge relied on one or more anonymous sources for several 2017 stories about potential national security risks related to a Virginia school that was founded by Yan Ping Chen and attended by many members of the U.S. military whose tuition was paid by taxpayers. Herridge published details about an FBI investigation into Chen, including photos of her in a People's Liberation Army uniform. Okay. Chen then sued Harrods for reputational damage. Okay, so this is like some sort of civil suit or suit, I'm assuming, for reputational damage. All right. You can see here, court appears unlikely to spare former Fox News reporter in contempt fights. Let's look at this. The court would have had... Sorry, I hope you didn't hear that. Burped a little. The court would have to look at what interest is being advanced. Philbin said there's a systemic societal cost every time a reporter's confidential source is disclosed because it chills the flow of information to the press and impairs the ability of the press to fulfill its function. Philbin warned that a ruling affirming the subpoena to Harrods would allow many other reporters to face subpoenas and lawsuits involving alleged breaches of privacy by federal officials. Judge Michelle Childs, an appointee of President Biden, was less emphatic in her comments. However, she expressed concern that any special privileges for the media would raise difficult line-drawing problems about who qualifies as a journalist, which is kind of the point. For those who recall, God, who did I have? What is his name? Oh, this is going to bug me. God, one of the J6 guys. It's really bugging me. I can't think of his name right now. Stephen Horn. I had him on. That was one of the big cruxes of his thing, is that they would. It was the question of whether he was a journalist or not. What determines who is a journalist? And in a sense, kind of, we're all a journalist. A journalist is just like a meaningless term of someone who is collecting information in some manner. So... the idea that you need, what, some sort of credentials to qualify for, you know, being applicable under the Bill of Rights is a little bit ridiculous. All right. We're now in the social media age where people hide behind Twitter, people hide behind other social media outlets. Who are you really protecting? Childs asked. Your source. Yeah. I don't really know what else to do with that one. All right. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. All right. Oh, someone shared in the chat, for those who are on Rumble, you can go see it. This is a video showing all the evidence that of the Fed in that Virginia Kekwa militia. I'm assuming you're probably sharing that from the News to Share. Yeah, go check that out. It was a really good video. I'm not going to play that on the show. I said, yeah, the Feds are really infiltrating a lot of the smaller groups. I make new friends because of that. Yeah, it's always cool to make new Fed friends. Yep. All right, let's see what else we got. All right, let's do a little bit more Gates action. If you guys haven't been able to tell, I've been softening up on him a little bit recently. I was very suspicious from the jump, but here we go. All right, breaking. A hacker is said to have downloaded a file containing damaging testimony about Matt Gaetz, Donald Trump's pick for attorney general. The file is said to include sworn testimony by a woman who said that she had sex with Gaetz when she was 17. And then we have Josie, the redhead libertarian here, sworn testimony from the same woman whom the Biden DOJ decided was not credible before they didn't charge him. That woman. Okay. To hackers said to dial. Okay. Well, so there's some hacker exists somewhere with a file. Okay, cool. Some sort of Fed. I will say he didn't do himself any favors by whatever fucking facial surgery he did. He looked a lot more normal and cool and personable, and now he just looks like he would be the bad guy. So it's kind of hard to ever really be like, he's not the bad guy. You know what I mean? Just look at his face. I'm sorry, Matt. You fucked up. You fucked up. I don't know if you can unfuck it, but you should probably look into unfucking it. All right. Here's I thought this would make sense to share as well. Here is from the Senate Judiciary Committee, who I guess are concerned about Gaetz coming in. He said, this is Matt Gaetz calling for the entire Justice Department to be eliminated, including the FBI and ATF. Radical and unacceptable. Which, by the way, I had one of you guys point out that they were like, you know, you're being a little bit crazy, Jose, because whenever I first brought up him as an appointment for Attorney General, I also pointed out how Bolton had emphatically was like, this is the worst thing ever to have ever existed, ever in the existence of ever, basically kind of being like a pouty little girl. And I just said it seemed to be over the line a little much. Seemed like, you know, you would think somebody like a Bolton would realize by now at this stage in American politics that they are the heel. Like, how much longer can you go without realizing that is the only thing you have to offer right now is the fact that you work as a heel, and that, like, people can play off of you. So in this exact example, you go, if you want to usher in your guy, you have somebody like a Bolton go, this is the worst person in the existence of ever. And then like everyone would be like, oh, well, I guess they're pretty good. Like that's the only use that he would really serve. So I see that and I go, it's weird that he's being like this. Obviously, this is not conclusive at all. But I mean, obviously, we've gone over Gates, some of the stuff in the past few shows. And I don't know, the more I look into him, the more I'm like, I mean, obviously, he's a politician. So I do think he plays political games. But I don't know, I'm feeling pretty bullish on him so far. But obviously, I'm never going to trust any of these guys. But either way, it seems to be the establishment is not really too happy with this guy. But let's hear what he has to say. Little 26-second clip. Obviously, it's just a good little hoorah for us here.
And I don't care if it takes every second of our time and every ounce of our energy. We either get this government back on our side or we defund and get rid of, abolish the FBI, CDC, ATF. DOJ, every last one of them, if they do not come to heel. And I don't care if...
Yeah, whatever. I mean, hell yeah, dude. I would say the only thing that's not a maybe a hell yeah to me is that it's kind of like couched in like, if they do what we say, if they don't do what we say, which like... I mean, obviously, anytime you come in, you do want your the entities that work below you to be doing what you're saying. But at the same time, it's couched in the idea that like, but if you guys are cool, we'll keep you around. It's like, well, I don't know. But still, it's far better rhetoric than you're going to get from damn near anyone else in there. So hell yeah, I'll take it. All right, let's check back in on you.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You guys see, wait, let me check in on Rumble, make sure you guys don't have any, no super jets. All right. Let's pop back in over here. Someone's just softening up on it. Did you see The View had to make a legal statement about Matt Gaetz not being not guilty so they could avoid a lawsuit they wanted nothing to do with? Yeah, I did see that. It was pretty wild. I believe that was the thing we had talked about on the show before, the that one Greenberg guy or whatever who was, I think if I recall the gist of the story is that he was somehow blackmailing his family. It seems to be like, hey, we'll make this story go away if you just like pay up. And then essentially Matt was like, nope, suck a dick. And his dad, I guess, wore a wire. And so that was able to prove them to be, I don't know. Anyways, point being is this guy, it would be, looks like it might be a good thing. Might be a good thing. All right. All right. AG should have been Sheriff Grady Judd. I don't know. For those who aren't aware, I believe that's Polk County in Florida. He's the Sheriff here. He's kind of known worldwide for being pretty based. He's kind of like a based boomer. I mean, like, I guess in a sense, he'd make a good AG in the sense of like a, in a based boomer way, and like a, he would fit in well in a Trump cabinet, but he is also pretty fucking awful. Like, he was like, with all the, like, the legalized weed shit here, he was the one on the ads saying shit like, oh, weed's tied to domestic abuse, which even if you are like someone who, like, he was the most like retarded, like boomer, like weed stuff. Like, he's super duper against it to the extent of like ridiculous. Like, I know I have some friends who are super against weed and or whatever, and that's fine. I don't care. But it's like, the boomer, the out of touch boomer who's probably never smoked weed being against weed, those do have the most unhinged takes about it. And he is that guy. So I don't know. I just don't know if I'd really want him being in an attorney general position. Although maybe he'd be awesome. I'm not sure. Grady hasn't been persecuted by the feds like Matt Gaetz has. Gaetz has a chip on his shoulder. That's another thing. I honestly feel like Grady has, like, while he does run his county in a pretty based way, I think that would open him up for issues. Because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm talking on my ass here, but I really feel like if someone wanted to go over his career with a fine-tooth comb, I struggle to believe that Grady Judge wasn't involved in some, like, morally questionable things. Which, I mean, it might even be things that I'm like, fucking cool. Like, that whoever that was might have sucked. Maybe that criminal deserved it. Whatever. But, yeah, he's kind of the good old boy type. So I wouldn't be surprised if that would run into some issues for higher office. So, all right. I start domestic abusing a lot when I start smoking weed. Yep. True. Judge should know that weed smokers can get off the couch to commit crimes. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it was bizarre. It's bizarre. All right. Let's pop back in on the coverage of World War III. Here is a... Here is Dave DeCamp. Good old Dave DeCamp. Says, been nice knowing you people. It's from 2 days ago. Says Putin, he shared two things. Says Putin lowers the threshold for using his nuclear arsenal after Biden's armed decision for Ukraine. Russia says Ukraine fired 6 U.S.-made ATACMS at the Bryansk region days after Biden policy shift. Here's the story of the ATACMS. All right, let's read this. Let's see how long this is for us. Oh, Jesus Christ, why is it in this format? Okay, there we go. All right, that's a little, Jesus Christ, this is a long article for some quick information. All right, Ukraine fired several, I'm probably not going to read all of this, fired several into Russia, officials said Tuesday, making the first time Kiev used the weapons that were that way in the 1,000 days of war. Jesus nuts, we've gone that long. All right, the use of the ATACMS came as Russia, as Putin formally lowered the threshold for using nukes, opened the door to a potential nuclear response by Moscow to even a conventional attacks by any nation supported by a nuclear power. That could include Ukrainian attacks backed by the U.S. A Telegram channel affiliated with the Ukrainian military posted a video Tuesday that it says shows U.S.-supplied ATACMS missiles being fired from an undisclosed location in Ukraine. The Associated Press could not independently verify the date and location. According to the U.S. official, Ukraine fired about 8, and just 2 were intercepted. The official said the U.S. was still assessing battle damage, but the missile struck an ammunition supply location in Kharachev, a city of about 18,000 people in Russia's Bryansk region. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss intelligence assessments. All right, yep, so that happened a couple days ago. Let's check in over at Dave's page. There was something he posted recently I wanted to bring up. All right. So actually, let me share his page real quick. Here we go. There's Dave. There was something I wanted to look through, so I figured, hey, I'd scroll through it with you guys real quick. Oh, cool. American pressure didn't work. Live updates, ICC issues, arrest warrants from Netanyahu and Gallant. Okay, so there you go. There's arrest warrant. I swore they had already issued them. Or maybe they were preparing to. Okay, but that's a... Just scrolling through his page right now, we see that the ICC has issued arrest warrants for Netanyahu. Hell yeah. Okie dokie dokie. All right, here's what I was looking for. So Ukraine says Russia fired an ICBM at Dnipro. So maybe this is the return action to that. We'll see. All right, so Ukraine says Russia fired an ICBM at Dnipro. Sorry, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Russia hasn't confirmed it, and now Western officials are denying Ukraine's claim and saying it was a regular ballistic missile. All right. Either way, it's just kind of a precarious position we're at right now. This is where we're at. All right, let's share this tab instead. All right, here's an ABC News piece by Kelvin Shelvey, Patrick Reval, and Luis Martinez. I mean, I guess we kind of already covered all of it. It just seems that there's a conflict between what they're saying, who did what. Obviously, we're in a situation where Ukraine is saying that it was an ICBM. We have Russia hasn't confirmed anything. Us, the U.S., are saying, no, we don't think that's the case. So this is where we're at right now. It's just a precarious position to be at this point. And it is a little bit concerning that we have Ukraine already immediately off the bat just going ICBM. Which obviously would imply nukes. But U.S. officials describe Mr. as IRBM. Sorry. I might be mixing things up. They may not be making the claim it was nuclear. I think they're just making the case this was an intercontinental as opposed to IRBM or intermediate range ballistic missiles. So this is the difference between I'm assuming they're getting at the TACOMs. I don't know. I thought the implication here was that they're saying that they were worried that things had gone nuclear. Ukraine's military was 95% sure the strike was with an ICBM, but added that they were still examining the missile parts on the ground and not reached a final conclusion. Today, it was a new Russian missile. All the parameters, speed, altitude match those of an ICBM. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said in a statement on social media, all expert evaluations are underway. Well, unless they're claiming it's nuclear, I don't really know why this would be relevant. Like, yeah, you're at war with them. I mean, yeah, they're fucking shot shit at you. I mean, okay. I mean, I guess it could be an escalation. I don't know. I don't get what the point is here. Moscow did not immediately confirm the launch, with Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov declining a comment, saying questions about it should instead be directed to the Russian Defense Ministry. The Ukrainian Air Force announced Thursday morning that it had tracked the launch of the ICBM, along with six additional missiles, all of which were targeting the Dnipro region. The ICBM appeared to have been launched from the Astrakhan region in Russia's southwest, Ukrainian military officials said. All the missiles were launched in about 2 hours, beginning at about 5 a.m. local time. All were targeted at businesses and critical infrastructure, but only the missile that Ukraine identified as an ICBM struck the city. Ukraine said the six other missiles were shot down. There were no reports of casualties or significant damage. Okay, yeah, so, all right, I thought this was, like, early reports of, like, oh, no, did they get nuked kind of deal, because it reminded me of, I forget what the countries, and obviously it was Russia, Ukraine, but there was a third party. I remember there was the missiles that were shot around the time this all started. There was some sort of snafu where there was missiles shot, and Ukraine immediately blamed Russia, like, immediately, when there was no proof for it. I believe it ended up being something else. It ended up being some sort of other accident or something other. I thought that this was what this was, just at a brief cursory glance at the tweet earlier. I literally, bookmarked this right before the show, cause I was like, oh shit. But obviously after further reading, I guess it's more of a distinction between what type of missiles and how far, but all right. The U.S. officials said that the assessment of the launch, the type of missile and warhead, and the damage in Dnipro was continuing. The distance from what Ukraine said was the launch point, the strike location in Dnipro is about 600 miles, a distance shorter than when an ICBM would be expected to travel. The launch of an ICBM, if confirmed as such, would arrive amid concerns that the conflict between Russia and Ukraine could further escalate. This week, Ukraine's military for the first time launched U.S.-made ATACMS missiles toward targets within Russia days after U.S. President Joe Biden allowed for such use of the long-range weapons. I guess the idea is that, you know, the reason this is concerning is because this is, you know, after the escalation on the Ukrainian side. And so now you're using ICBMs, possibly giving them further range. Kiev on Tuesday launched six of the ATACMS targets targets within Russian territory, according to the Russian Defense Ministry. Zelensky said he would not confirm if Ukraine had used ATACMS to conduct a strike on an ammunition depot in the Bryansk region of Russia, but said Ukraine has attackums and will use all of these against Russia. Within hours of announcing it struck down five, the Kremlin announced that Putin had updated the nuclear doctrine. We already covered that. Following that warning, Ukraine on Wednesday fired long-range British Storm. Okay. Missiles into Russia the first time. A Ukrainian military unit involved in the operation told ABC News at least 10 of those missiles hit an estate in the village of Marino, the unit said. They were targeting a command post where North Korean army generals and officers were present. More than 10,000 North Korean troops are said to be operating along Russian forces in the Kursk region. All right, you guys get the gist. Zelensky said the Russian strike on Thursday is a result of Russia and its leader being terrified. Obviously, Putin is terrified when normal life simply exists next to him, when people have dignity, when a country simply wants to be and has a right to be independent, Zelensky said. Putin is doing whatever it takes to prevent his neighbor from breaking free of his grasp. Yada, 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 yada. All right. Let's pop back into you guys, see what you have to say. All right, what are y'all spurging about? Hey, guys. Oh, just World War III. No big whoop. And I know someone said those are for carrying nukes. Obviously the presence of the ICBM would be kind of like the escalation would be, in my head, would be more the flex of like just kind of like an operating, like showing off the use of your ICBMs. Like, hey, I can touch you, like kind of deal. That's more likely than anything. All right, let's see. Weed should be illegal, but his point about domestic abuse is retarded. Yeah, see, there you go. I don't think it should be illegal. I'm quite a fan, to be honest with you. Rumble down or just me? I'm looking at it right now. It's showing it's working. But I guess people are complaining that Rumble's glitchy. Sorry, guys. It is what it is. But that is the place to go. As I told you guys recently, I got a warning on a old, was it the J6 Shaman, the American Shaman or whatever, that guy, for an episode with him. So point being is I may not be destined long for this platform. I did want to ask you guys something. I'd asked Austin to join. I don't know if... I'm just checking out, actually, see if he's available. I'm not seeing a return from him. Okay, I sent him a message for this, seeing if he wanted to join us today, because I did want to talk to him. I have him on tonight, so I'll talk to him later, but I feel this would be a good thing for the stream. After our stream with Sam, me and him talked, like after the stream with Sam and us, and he kind of essentially, you know, was like, hey, you guys should need to come on the show, told us all to hit up Mark, his booker, and kind of was like, hey, essentially framed it in a way of kind of like a, it sounded like you're saying kind of like create your own episodes, kind of like whatever your thing is. So, and for those, obviously, I know most of you guys probably haven't gone on Sam's show. I've gone it before. He usually asks you to send over, you know, bullet points or information or whatever you might want brought up on the stream. Like little bullet points for him to kind of almost like a prompt for him to know what to refer to. Because, you gotta think how many podcasts he does and can't be expected to be an expert in everything. So, like, for example, like when I did my Oklahoma City bombing on, like, I sent him over different bullet points, like Taron Cheeky, Kenneth Turner. And it wasn't, like, in-depth stuff, just stuff to kind of be like, hey, you know, what about this thing? Like, I remember I mentioned, I don't think we covered it, but I talked about, like, the CIA remote viewing and, like, you know, how that ties into the Middle Eastern angle, that kind of stuff. So point being is, it sounds like we may be getting an Already Dead episode. So it sounds like we might be getting an episode with me and Austin on Sam's show. And it seems like we likely probably will be able to craft the way the discussion goes. So I was going to try to talk with him, and like, I was thinking different ideas. I don't know if we want to go with, like, I'm thinking, and I'll talk to him, you know, I guess maybe I'll get him to come on like maybe I can get him to come on tomorrow or something. We'll see. I'll talk about, see if he wants to come on tomorrow's morning stream. Maybe I can talk to him. But I'm thinking so far either one of two things: either play off the Already Dead motif and kind of do like a Suicided episode, like a, you know, Requiem for the Suicided type deal, like go through a few different examples of, you know, for one, we could obviously bring up the 20 plus who died in the Dutroux case. Obviously, you got Yiki, we have Trinidu, there's Gary Webb, there's so many that we could just kind of go through a bunch of them, just kind of like bop, 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 and kind of play that, like, be like, kind of like to refer to the motif of our show, like kind of like, hey, this is sort of the vibe of the show that we're going for. Because one key node that me and Austin always seem to focus in on our show is the conspiracy angle of Gladio and what that means. Like, essentially, it's almost like a Gladio octopus is kind of like so the interplay between Gladio, which is like false flag attacks, trafficking, Satanism, fucking arms deals, drug deals, like all of that, like the whole apparatus, and how that all kind of seems to tie in, how that all ties in. Like, I don't even know how to explain that. I'm sure Austin probably can think of a better way to coin that. But I think one of two, just kind of like go with a basic element of things to talk about. Because, I mean, if we did the latter thing, which is kind of like the Gladio thing, then we can jump around and talk about the Finders cult. Then we could talk about the Franklin scandal. We can talk about the Dutroux stuff once again. We can tie this into, P2, the Masonic lodges or whatever. So you can go all sorts of different ways, tie in from one thing to other. There was one time what Austin brought up, there's a Strassmeyer from the Oklahoma City bombing to Gladio connection. So you can make that connection. So I don't know. Either way, I think it'd be fun. You guys let me know. Put this in the comments about like ideas of like themes of episodes you'd like for us to have on. Maybe even remind Sam, like, hey, you need to have these guys on, that type of stuff, to keep it in his mind. But either way, me and we haven't emailed the booker yet, but we figured to email him soon, kind of like maybe give him ideas. But second option would be better for a show like Tinfoil Hat. The suicides would be too rapid fire to follow for those unfamiliar. Yeah. It would be like we're selling kind of like a thesis with the second option as opposed to like a Suicided. But I don't know. I just feel like since that's like the theme of the show, maybe that'd be a good way to go. And even then, the rapid fire, I mean, it might be hard to follow, but if anything, that's almost kind of the point. Because with the suicide thing, the rapid fire, like, yeah, like we wouldn't have the time to, like, when you lay out, like, say, Sean T. Ferens, which is like the stripper who died at the, God, I can't remember the name of strip club right now. That's bugging me. But the one that where Timothy McVeigh essentially ran his mouth off at, and then she ended up dying shortly after, and she was one of the ones who, identified, I believe, Strassmeyer, McVeigh, Brescia, or some combination thereof. But just bringing her up, like, it'd be like, it's not like we'd have the time to go through each little individual thing about her, but like, just kind of playing, like, that one's not even like that one's probably more of like a dubious one, and you can even present it that way of like, and here's this person that was associated with this that died, and like, I mean, yes, she could have just died of a drug overdose, but like, also it's super suspicious. But just the idea of blam, 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 just like knocking them out, and even though like some of them may be more or less dubious, just the idea that they add up. Especially if you group them in with other things. So, like, if, say, I presented something like a Sean T. Ferens alongside, Alan Gillis Baker, which is one of the fellow inmates who died alongside Kenneth Trinidu. So it's, like, associated with it. The point being is Sean T. Ferens, Alan Gus Baker, there was like, I believe at least another person who died in relation there. Then you have Kenneth Trinidu, Yiki, like, so once you get to like five plus, then you get to a point where you're like, oh shit, now you're like, you now you have multiple people associated with it. You know, like, oh shit, now there's this many deaths. So the point being is just the rapid fire nature would be the point. And it almost might be more suitable to a show like Tin Foil Hat, because if anything, having too focused of a concept or subject on Tin Foil Hat is hard, because I mean, you guys know, he even jokes about himself. He's all over the place. I mean, shit, with my Oklahoma City bombing, I think we somehow got into Flat Earth. I don't remember. We had Eddie Bravo on. Like, it goes all over the place. He's very ADD. So, and the point with that ADD, if anything, with a topic like suicides or, you know, suspicious deaths, it is kind of, like, easy to always bring it back, because if he gets on one other topic, then you're like, oh, shit, and then I just, boom. Yeah. So, yeah, somebody says disagree, people getting killed grabs people's attention, Yiki grab yours. Yeah, it's true. Like, Yiki is what set me down this path. So, too many names gets confusing for me, so I assume other retards are the same. You're making good points, but I'm actually more, I talk about it, the more I'm talking myself into the more simplistic suicide ones, because if with something like that, if Sam gets off topic and gets into some other realm, then, like, as long as we have, I mean, Austin, so many different, you know, conspiracies this or that, that, like, we can probably just jump to another conspiracy that's, you know, somewhat related to whatever we're talking about there. It gives us more freedom and it makes it, like, less rigid to have to pull it back to whatever our original idea is. So, I don't know, just throwing it out there. You guys let me know. You throw in the comments, whatever. All right, let's do a follow-up on, I got a couple more for you, and I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to keep this one a little bit shorter. I do plan on being here tomorrow for you guys, so probably around the same time, about 10 Eastern. We started at 10:15 today, just was running a little bit late, but probably around 10 Eastern tomorrow. So pop in tomorrow. Don't forget to, like, tag me and stuff if you guys see stuff you want me to cover on the show. But I have a couple more things. I have an update for the first one. To a story we covered, I believe it was actually the last one that we were on. It was the fake Nazi story that we was like from like a year ago or some shit. I wanted to find this when we were streaming the other day, but I found it after the fact, and so I figured I'd cover it. And so this is Ken Sylvan. I chuckled reading this Nazi's interview with the FBI, where he tells agents about reptilians and Aryan societies, but it's actually a sad story. The defendant is a 20-year-old schizophrenic, and this whole incident seems to have torn the family apart. And yeah, this is, for those who want to dig into it more, we covered this in the last stream, so we went into the actual story here that he quote tweeted. All right. It says, FBI interview part 2, A2, whoever that is. You know what? Because I've heard from people before. I've heard about the reptilians. I've heard about the shapeshifters. I've heard about, you know, that doesn't just pop into your head. You read that somewhere. I'm just wondering where you got this. Kindula. I mean, like I said, right? I can't specifically name the websites, but certainly when you look at the kind of information they have, I mean, like I said, right? Instead of being biased. So yeah, that's one of those things. I mean, I found it, but like I said, right? I wasn't necessarily, you know, in that way. I took it. So yeah. Sounds like me trying to describe any fucking conspiracy to my wife. What does your ideal world look like? And this is Kandula. Aryans, which is an Indian guy. Although I'm pretty sure I've heard people say that actually Aryans surprisingly somehow have a common ancestry or something to Indians. I don't know. Aryans, really? Interesting. Okay, why Aryans? Kandula, you look at all the progress they've built. Look at Europe. Look at America. I mean, it's nothing personal to me, but inaudible. No, it's interesting. And you said that the book that you brought, is that something you wrote? Then here's a picture of him. Okay. Yeah, sad. And yeah, this guy was, I believe, our call. He was like, fucking homeless. So yeah, sad stuff. Yeah. All right. Let's. So yeah, I just want to give you guys that update. Just kind of like the things he was saying. I don't know if there, I'm assuming if we read the full interview, we'd probably get more idea. But yeah, he had a little bit of interesting ideas. Is the only point. I don't know. Nothing there outside the norm of an episode you might catch on my show. But yeah. All right. Let's check in with you guys. See. And we got one more thing, and we'll get out of here. All right. Take notes. Main thing will be to keep Austin on track. Well, the cool thing is he's such a deep repository of knowledge. And if it's something similar, just like suicides, I feel like no matter where we pop around, he might be like, oh, yeah, or suspicious deaths. Yeah, Governor Shapiro suicide case. Yep. Yeah, Robert Sepper for the Aryan Indian connection. Yep. That's where I actually heard it. Is that there's an a Aryan Indian connection for some weird ass reason. All right, one more thing, and we're gonna get out of here. FBI Director Ray. This is a Ken piece. Ken Silva. Director Ray and DHS Secretary Mayorkas refuses to testify before Congress. FBI Director Christopher Wray and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas were supposed to testify before the House and Senate Homeland Security Committees this week about threats to the homeland, but they were refusing to do so. The annual House Homeland Security hearing was set for Wednesday, but on Tuesday, the House issued a notice that it was being postponed indefinitely. A day later, a similar situation occurred in the Senate. Fox News broke the news on the Senate cancellation Thursday morning with Senator Josh Hawley issuing a statement around the same time. Secretary Mayorkas and Director Ray's refusal to testify publicly today in the Senate is an outrage and a brazen attempt to avoid oversight for the political abuses at FEMA, the FBI, and more. I look forward to Director Ray's resignation, Hawley said on Twitter X. Senator Rand Paul also issued a statement on the matter, calling the FBI and DHS's bosses' decisions unacceptable, which, by the way, a side point, but Rand Paul recently disappointed all of us and did not jump on a recent push to block sales, arms sales to Israel. I believe Bernie Sanders and a few of your other usual suspects ran in there. But Rand Paul, and one of the few times where, you know, these things actually, you know, I guess matter. I mean, I guess it's just symbolic when it got passed anyways, but you know, when it really comes down to it, stuff like that, he's got to play the political game, and that kind of lets you know who runs things. All right, anyways, he also issued a statement on the matter, calling the FBI and DHS's bosses' decisions unacceptable. Ray's cancellation comes on the heels of revelations that his former subordinate, retired FBI official Stephen D'Antuono, lied about the Bureau receiving corrupted evidence in its investigation into who planted the January 6, 2021 Capitol Hill pipe bombs. Additionally, it has now been nearly 3 months since the FBI provided an update on its investigation into the July 13th attempt against Donald Trump. That's wild. The House Task Force investigating the shooting did visit FBI facilities this week as part of its probe. All right, so let me reiterate that for those who caught that, because I'm kind of doing my, like, article drone reading voice, and I should probably get better at that, being more engaging. But just to reiterate it for you, 3 months since there's been an update from the FBI on the July 13th assassination attempt. You would think you'd be getting regular updates. They'd be giving all their information to all the other key people investigating this, but no. The House Task Force investigating the shooting did visit... Oh, I already read that part. The DHS has been similarly tight-lipped about its Trump shooting investigation as well as a number of other matters. Earlier this week, the head of FEMA, which is housed within the DHS, was dragged by lawmakers for its workers having avoided pro-Trump households in its recent hurricane responses. Which I believe there were some of you that were tagging me in this, and I don't know if it's just it didn't work out time-wise, it wasn't timely. But yeah, I remember that is a story that happened recently. There was some FEMA stuff. And I guess there were certain areas that were literally avoiding pro-Trump households, or they admitted to it. I forget the specifics of it, who, at what level, where. I also, to be frankly, I honestly just wasn't that interested in it, because I remember, you know, skimming it at one point, and I don't think, if I recall correctly, it wasn't someone that was, like, super high up or anything. It's like, yeah, it's still obviously not cool, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it didn't really interest me all that much. It just kind of seemed like a... one of those stories of somebody somewhere is doing a thing. And you're like, okay, cool. Mayorkas' refusal to testify also comes amidst reports this agency can't account for thousands of unaccompanied migrant children. Numerous FBI and Justice Department officials are reportedly planning to resign before Donald Trump takes office. Some are even hiring lawyers in fear of being criminal prosecuted. You know what? I kind of hope they do start resigning and start hiring lawyers, because I actually think... then that likely makes it more likely to happen, and also, like, they're almost, like, manifesting their own reality in a sense. And, like, I think it's going to make people more suspicious, start looking into more, like, what is going on. If you have all these hearings where people aren't showing up to, which I don't know to what extent this is really significant, like, these guys missing a hearing, is that not normal? I'm not sure. But either way, if we start seeing a trend of this to where all the people in positions of power stop, you know, performing their duties and start lawyering up and start or resigning, I'm all here for it. I think that is the greatest. All right, let's check in. All right, let's check in with you guys, and then we'll go ahead and get out of here. Evola thought that Hinduism came from the Aryans. Morning Joe hosts suspicious past with murder and even teal BF fall off building. Hey, Fox, yeah, send me, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter or somewhere else or whatever. Also, keep in mind, I don't know if you can do it on YouTube. On Rumble, you can drop full links in the chat here, and I can follow them, so then I can like bring them up on the show. But tag me. If you were able to find anything on any of that, tag me, because I'm interested in the murder. That would be a fun little aside to go through on one of these. I always like to, especially if I find a little thread of something weird like that, that we can go into that. That's why the mobile shredder vans are at FBI HQ in DC. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me the least. Well, all right, guys, we're going to head and get out of here. I appreciate you guys for joining me today. Tonight, I have Austin coming back on the show. We are going to continue our deep dive into the Watergate series. So if you want to get that earlier than everyone else, you need to go over to patreon.com/NoWayJose2020 where you can support me there. That's at the $2 level, gives you the early stuff. I have tomorrow, obviously, like, I mean, if you want to support me and get it a day early, that's cool. But it's already been in there for about a week. Also, the Lena Ajit episode that's dropping tomorrow. I'm really glad, looking forward to hearing about you guys for your thoughts on that. So let me know. Like I said, you get early episodes over at patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. You also can be a talking head alongside me and Austin on Already Dead on Tuesdays at 9:30. And my highest level on that, I read off every episode as a sign of thanks. I have my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's at @ZOVERACK at _InfantZeal. Then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. Follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tim Tuttle at Jolion Klebold. Then Will Bell, who has this delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine. And then a big fan of the show at Real Josh Elliott, who he was one of the guys who called in on the Sam Tripoli episode. So yeah, pay up, guys, if you want to be able to do that. And also, Torin May, I appreciate you guys supporting me. It's because of you that I'm able to do what I do. But yeah, follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. I mean, it's stuff like that that, you know, pushes this show out there. So if you guys want to, you know, make clips, edits, whatever, you know, tag me. I'll be sure to share them around. Also, as I've been apt to let you guys know, this show really does come down to like, well, I mean, obviously a lot of it comes down to my scrolling, but I don't scroll as much as I used to, especially when I'm carting the wife around, driving a whole lot more now. So, you know, help me out here, curate this show, tag me and stuff on Twitter or send it to me, whether you're a patron and or whatever way you can. I mean, you know, go look in the video description here or podcast description. There's all sorts of different ways you can contact me. Twitter's probably preferable. Tag me. If you see something, you're like, oh, I'd like to see this cover in the show, or it's an article that you don't feel like, even if it's just an article, you don't feel like reading that very moment. And you're like, but it seems to fit in the vein of topics we cover. Just tag me. And then it'll likely end up being an article we read on this. And yeah, also you can do that over on the Tower Gang Telegram. So if you want to pay them money, or if you're one of my patrons and you want to join that Telegram, just hit me up. I'll let you know, or let me know. I will get you into that Telegram. And that way you can be in the Telegram that has a tab for the morning dump, so that way for suggestions to drop stuff in. But with that, we're gonna go and get out of here. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff, and we are out.
Ohio football fans, picture this: you bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.